the Elite Life Podcast. With your hosts, Tricia and Kylie. Here, we guide you on a journey of personal and professional transformation. Revealing the secrets to success. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, join us as we unlock the doors to the elite world of growth, grit, and grace. So, let's dive in.
Welcome, 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 friends, to another episode of the Elite Life Podcast. We are so glad that you're here with us today. My name's Tricia.
I'm Kylie. Look at you all, Miss Professional Focus, putting yourself together in your... See, you should have had that one on when I had my black blouse on.
Then we'd be matchy-matchy.
We'd be twinsy-twinsy. We'd be doing that thing you did with your fourth grade girlfriends who were just like twins.
That's a whole other episode that we chatted about.
That is another episode. In this episode, we are going to be talking about how you can transform your mindset to multiply your wealth.
Yeah, we're going to talk about money.
We're going to talk about money today.
We're going to talk about money.
Do you like money? I like money. Do you like money?
I like the freedom that money provides in life. The freedom.
I want her mindset. So let's dive in, sis. Well, let's talk about what does being rich actually mean? We talked about this last week on the she built that what do you call it? Brainstorm sesh on our Wednesday chit chat.
Yeah. Wednesday, we have a midweek momentum.
What it was called.
In our school group. Our school group is our female entrepreneur group. And it's actually came up, like, I feel like this is a theme that's been coming up a lot. Like, I have a few themes that have been running through my world lately. And what does rich or what is wealth to you? And I think that this is a really interesting concept and conversation for people, because some people have like a specific number in mind, like, oh, if I had this much money, then I wouldn't have to worry anymore.
I feel like that's where a lot of people are at, is like, I have this specific amount of money or around this amount, and it really comes down to worry. Mm-hmm. I don't have to worry. I don't have to stress. I could put on auto pay. I remember Erica talking about when she first put her mortgage on auto pay. What an amazing day.
Yeah.
That is wonderful. I remember the first day I was able to take Casey shopping. We spent the whole day. We spent way too much money. But I didn't worry about it. I didn't play what's in the bank account. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. So I'm with you.
Yeah. And I think that the concept behind... See, and I don't use the word rich anymore. Like, I think the language subjective. And the words that you use also matter, too.
Well, we all grew up watching Richie Rich with Macaulay Culkin, right? And mm-hmm. So I'm trying to get comfy here. Sorry. I feel like when you grow up, and obviously this doesn't apply to everybody, but when you grow up, especially the way we did, you have a very specific idea of what rich is. My Uncle Mark, great salesman. I don't remember what he was selling when we were a kid, but he is just like an awesome human. Hi, Uncle Mark. And I just remember their house was, and now mind you, I grew up in a trailer park, which is fine. It was comfortable for us. It is whatever. But we would go to Uncle Mark's house. We would go to Bill and Barb's house. We would go to these other friends that my dad had. And they all chose different paths in life. Every single one of them, different path in life. One was an entrepreneur. One was a salesperson. And they always had like the boats and the jet skis and the lake house and the big house and the new Nintendo 64. All of these things these kids had. And so I had a very specific idea in my mind of what rich looked like, right? Like, this is how rich people live. This is the things that rich people do.
So let me ask you. So were you equating rich with stuff?
Yes. And I think that is really where the metamorphosis comes in, is because the stuff versus the actual richness of life, sometimes they go hand in hand. Like you just said, I enjoy the freedom that money gives me. Mm-hmm. I am able to do X, Y, Z and have these things and whatever. But the money itself, the amount, the stuff is not the richness of life.
Yeah, and I think that that's really important to differentiate. I had a conversation with Trent one time, and he was making a comment about a family member. And he's like, so this family member got taken by their spouse twice, like that their spouse made them poor twice. And I'm like, what do you mean? And he's like, well, I heard that this family member had this big house and all of this stuff. And then the spouse made them lose everything. And then they got another big house and all this stuff. And now they have nothing again. And I'm like, well, you understand that, like, stuff doesn't equate to wealth. Like, people will leverage debt. And I think that that's something really that a lot of people don't know or understand. They think if you have a big house and you have a really nice car and you have these things that you are rich, but really you just may be good at leveraging debt. So like I see a lot of people do this, is like especially in the real estate world or like self-employed people.
Yeah.
Because they get this onslaught of money, which then they can use as down payments on things that they pay payments on. But that doesn't mean that any of that stuff is theirs. So they keep losing it. They lose the house and
get
the
repo.
Yeah. And then it's like, okay, well, now I fixed my credit and I got this money from this new business. And so I get another house and car and things. But they're not good at balancing a business or their life or whatever the thing is.
Maintaining that wealth.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think like stuff and actual like wealth are very different because you can be leveraging debt and yeah, you may have a Lamborghini and a mansion and a boat and be going on all these vacations, but you also might be $4 million in debt. So just because you're able to swing these payments for 5 or even 10 years to look really cool doesn't mean that you have actual wealth.
Right. And I think that is something that a lot of people are, I mean,
like you see the people that hit the lotto and then they're broke. Like that's a revolving door. Like wealth is and richness is it's a way of life. Like it's a mindset. It's the freedom. It's knowing how to live aligned and be making the world a better place, not just getting stuff.
Yeah. And I do think that there is something to be said in the difference between money earned and money given. So I have learned this through my life, just being alive.
Yeah.
But I've also seen it with my children. So, for example, when my daughter has to go to Mimi's or Oma's and pull weeds and earn her money, she's a lot less frivolous on how she spends it versus let's go on a shopping spree for my birthday because it's my birthday and it's money given.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, yeah. And I yeah. think that goes into the mindset as well.
Yeah.
Because the way that I grew up, we didn't talk stocks. We didn't talk – there's no generational wealth. Like Trisha and I think I can speak for both of us when I say we are the first in our families to have the mindset of building generational wealth. We are the first ones. And so we didn't grow up with people ahead of us. Like, for example, like Donald Trump. I read his book, The Art of the Deal. He had his father. His father was a land developer and his father was a builder. And so he had someone showing him the way and explaining all of these things. And we kind of had to figure it out on our own.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing. Like, are you building a legacy? Are you building generational wealth? Are you building stronger mindsets and better humans that are going to go out and impact the world? Like, are you impacting the world or are you just getting a bunch of crap and then you're going to leave a bunch of debt? Those are very different. And that's how things sustain too. Like, I've seen guys who are real estate brokers and they have 4 cars and a lake house and all of these things. And then they have absolutely nothing because they've screwed all these people over along the way to just get a quick buck. and then you have nothing because you haven't actually built a business and a legacy and a good name for yourself. You just collected a bunch of paychecks really quick and you didn't do it in the right way. And yeah. Those are very, very, very different.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's dive into a little bit of more definition on this. And we just have some notes. And one thing that stuck out to me is this note here about research, because Trisha always loves the research and the science, and I'm so glad you bring that to the podcast. So I want to read this note you have here. It says, studies from Harvard and Princeton have shown that once you hit a certain income level, around $75,000 to $90,000 a year in the U.S., more money doesn't drastically increase your day-to-day happiness, but what it can do is increase your sense of control over your time and choices, and that is real wealth.
Yeah, and I love that because I would say that's real wealth too, having control over your time and choices.
Yeah.
Like that is a great definition in my mind, being able to control your time and choices, not having to, like I always say, like not having to say no to my kids if they want something or want to go somewhere, and not in like that spoiled rich kid sense, but like I always was told, like, we can't afford that. You can't have that jacket because we can't afford it.
And now you're like, no, you're not having that jacket because you've been acting like a jackrabbit all day long. I'm trying to keep it family friendly. You've been an asshole today. So no, you will not have the toy.
Well, there's just a very, I have a core memory when Trent was little before I had gotten like into real estate sales, because I always felt like we've talked about this before. I always thought I had to have this like 9-to-5 job so I'd be like a loan processor or some sort of, like, I was in the real estate and mortgage world, but I wasn't in control of what I was making. I wasn't in the sales factor. I was more in like the processing part where you got paid hourly. And when you get paid hourly, you only have so much money. And when you have, you're a single mom and you have bills, you know, usually that money goes to paying those bills. So he wanted a Happy Meal one time. Mm. And we lived over on Avondale in West Lane, and there was McDonald's on Wayne Road. So we always drove by this McDonald's. And he's like, Mama, I want a Happy Meal. And I'm like, honey, we don't have the money. Like at that point in time, I was highly in credit card debt. So it would be like, I have $1.50 on this credit card and $2.50 on this credit card. And I might be able to get myself a coffee or something. And he was like, I want a Happy Meal. And I was like, honey, we don't have money for that. And he's like, well, you can just write a check. And I was like, you can't write a check for a Happy Meal. But it like burned into my mind, like I couldn't even afford to buy my kid a Happy Meal. And he was like, well, just write a check for it. And I didn't want to have to say no or have all of our choices be surrounded by money, you know? And it takes a long time to change your mindset around money and the things that you say, because even when you start to get money, money has such a control over the way that you interact with the world. Like when Trent was in hockey, at first we got play it again gear, and then we started to make money to be able to buy like actual gear. And then we started to make money to buy like actual good gear, and he actually needed good gear because he was playing against more high caliber players who have an 80 mile per hour slap shot. And if that hits him and he has crappy gear, it's going to physically hurt him.
Right.
So I ended up starting
80 miles an hour.
Yeah. 80 miles an hour.
Holy
yeah.
Moses.
Yeah, 80 miles an hour. So, and some of, like, in junior hockey, there's kids that can hit a hockey puck 100 miles per hour.
Dang.
Yeah, and that hits your kid in the chest or in the clavicle or, you know, in the head. So it's like you have to – the gear is literally important to their health and well-being.
Yeah.
And so over time, what I noticed happened was we're just getting gear to be able to play the sport, and then we're getting gear – you know, that he wants that looks cool. And then we're getting gear to protect him.
And save your life.
Right. And your mindset starts to change. I went from like complaining, like I remember the first time he bought his first set of leg pads and they were $2,000 because of, as you grow bigger, they're more expensive. And I was like, dude, my first car I got was $1,000. My dad, when he bought me my first car, a Geo Tracker, it was $1,000. And I'm like, your leg pads are twice as much as my first car.
Yeah, I got my first car from your dad too for $1,000.
But then when you flip your mindset to, I need my kid to be safe because he's gotten at this higher caliber of playing, I'm like, please buy the more expensive stuff. So now it's like we've almost flip-flopped mindsets where Trent's like, Mom, I need this. And I'm like, get it. And he's like, oh, but it costs this much. And I'm like, I don't care. Your brain is worth more than $1,000 to me, you 100%. Know? Like, please buy the most expensive helmet because I want to keep your head safe. Please buy the more expensive leg pads because I don't want you to break your femur. Please buy the expensive chest pad because I've seen what it does to your clavicle when you get hit and your gear is wore out, or if you're trying to catch with a wore out glove and you break the bone in your hand. Like, you start to change your mindset about these things, and like, even like changing your mindset around, like, you get what you pay for. And I've talked about this before, like shoes, right? Mm-hmm. Growing up, my mom, like, we were always finding deals. Like, she's a clearance shop. She likes to shop the clearance racks, right? And so we'd get deals. And
I
don't,
I can't
be
mad at her for that.
Yeah, like, oh, I can get 5 pairs of shoes for, you know, $25, right? $5 pairs of shoes. But what I realized over time was I'd go to put on these shoes to go to work and I'd look down and they look terrible because they're $5 shoes and they've gotten like all the outside of them has wore off from Michigan winters and they look like crap. So it doesn't make sense to me to have to buy shoes 17 times a year when I could just buy one pair of good shoes that lasts me for a year.
Yeah.
So, like, you start to realize, like, you do get what you pay for in life. And if you are able to invest in something and you start thinking of the world in terms of investments, like, I would rather invest in good gear and keep my kids safe. I would rather invest in good shoes and not be constantly wasting my time shopping for new shoes, and they keep my feet better and more comfortable than ruining my feet and having to go to the doctors because the bones are all messed up in my feet because I keep getting bad shoes. Or like when I'm running, like, I want good shoes for running because I don't want knee problems and back problems and all of these other problems.
You should just stop running.
I know. We keep coming back to that. but I think that's one thing that comes with it is the freedom of thought too, where you're not trying to justify the $5 shoes. You're understanding, like, you are investing in a better and brighter future with everything that you do.
Literally
every single thing, right?
And this came up at our house too, where at the end of last fall, it was like right at the end, our lawnmower died, and we have an acre of land. So push mowing that stuff is not an option. It's not. And so luckily, like I said, it was the end of winter, or the end of fall, so we didn't really need to cut it. And then we came to a space where it really needed cutting in the springtime. And I'm one of those people who married my complete opposite. And so Ryan is the guy who will put something in his Amazon cart, and he will watch it for 2 years. He will watch it. He will research it through 3 different sources. He will watch it until it's the perfect price, then he will buy it. Or maybe he won't, because he doesn't need the damn thing anymore. It's been 2 years. Whereas I'm like, hey, we have this problem. We have the resources to solve this problem. Go solve the problem. And so he was like, well, the new mowers are like $3,500. I'm like, well, praise the Lord that we're blessed. Okay, so go get the lawnmower. It's not like it's something that's we're not going to use. We're going to get every single penny of that $3,500 out of it. Mm-hmm. Luckily, he found one on Facebook Marketplace for half of that. But it is the peace of mind of knowing that, like you just said, it's an investment.
Yeah.
Like when we were quoting out for the air conditioning at our house, Ryan was like, I gave him the price. I'm not going to advertise what price we paid, but it was a pretty penny. But I was like, Ryan, this is something we need. This is something that's worth it. And I don't know, I did tell him, I hope he's prepared to die in the house because I'm never moving again. But you and I both know we're going to move to the farm. Yeah. So I'm like, when we go to sell this, this is going to improve the value of the home because nobody wants to take this on without air. It was our one box that was unchecked on the house. Air conditioning. So It really does come down to that. Is it not just gives you the freedom of thought, but it gives you the freedom to invest in these things that you otherwise wouldn't. Does that make sense? God, I feel like it just went down a hole.
No, it does. Absolutely. Because I know from trying to sell homes that don't have air conditioning that you are then eliminating a whole box of people who won't even look at homes without air. Like, it's an investment
we don't live in
North, a future return.
Yeah, we don't live in North Dakota either. So the summers down here, especially if you're buying a house in Detroit, they do be hot.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, you have to start thinking of more things than investments. And so, like, that brings us around to, like, identifying your money blocks, because especially if you didn't grow up with money, you have probably inadvertently put in place, like, what are called money blocks. And you may have never even heard of this term, but I think sometimes we even do it to ourselves, yeah. Even if you have growth. Because here's the thing. One thing that's true is, like, growth is a never-ending process. And you will grow in a space, and then you'll realize, like, your old self came back out somehow, some way, and you got to fix yourself again. And you got to fix yourself again. And so a couple of things that are, like, surrounding money is, like, making money is hard. People think that making money is hard because maybe they did see somebody struggle in life to make money. Like, you may have had a dad or a mom that worked dark to dark. So you think, if I want to make a lot of money, that's going to make my life hard. So you say, well, I don't need money to be happy. Everybody that says they don't need money to be happy hasn't had money, because the things that money affords you gave you more joy in your life, because either you can give back to other people, or you can give nicer things to the people around you, or you can reduce the stress on your life, or open up more time, or whatever that why is to you. But you think making money is hard, so you think it's going to change your life in a negative way. Or all rich people are greedy, because somebody along in your life was wealthy in your eyes and they were greedy. And I know a lot of people that were wealthy and had money and were greedy. Because that's the other thing, like, differentiating the language, right? Just because somebody has money doesn't mean they're wealthy or rich. And you can have money for a season because you got in on something good, like the real estate world when interest rates were 2% and you made a big bang for your buck, but that money is gone because you're greedy. So understanding that not all rich people are greedy. Some people that have the most amount of money on the planet are the most giving people. Like, I always go back to Sarah Blakely and Jesse Itzler, right? Like, they're my favorites and I talk about them all the time because they're so freaking down to earth. And I will tell you, last night, when I was on Instagram researching our next guest, I, of course, went on to Sarah Blakely's page because she's in my algorithm. And she was like, I like so fangirled out because she was like, our Michigan summer in, I think she said Bay City, which is like right outside of Saginaw. And it showed this cabin that they have been summering in for the last 50 years. It's like a cabin from their family. So here this woman is. She is a billionaire. And she's staying in this little cabin in Michigan with a TV that is, like, you know, the size of a normal size little TV.
She's not watching TV, Trish.
Yeah. But
she's reading books.
And that's the thing. Like, everything in the house was equated to something like an average Joe would have. And she's going through, like, pictures of her life of, like, you know, you take your kid to work with you when you don't have anybody to watch them. That, like, shocked me. I'm like, you're a billionaire. What do you mean you didn't have people to watch your kids and you took them to work? Because her priorities and her values are set up different. She wasn't just, like, paying some staff to watch her kid. She'd rather take her kid to work with her. And it, like, showed, like, her kid in her lap. And, like, she's not greedy. She's living just like all the rest of us are living in the spaces and places that we're. So she's sitting around a bonfire with s'mores with her kids. There's no, like, guards around her. And, like, when you go to their events, like, that's why I love Running Man, because they're not separating themselves from the rest of us. Jesse Itzler is coming around and giving me a high five and posing for a picture with me. He doesn't have security guards around him. She's jumping in the sauna in her regular Target bathing suit. You know, like, they're normal people. So just because you have money doesn't make you this specific type of person. Mic drop.
Well, I think, too, that I had a couple thoughts. I need a pen. I need to bring a pen. One thing that really has branded itself into my mind is the day, and I can remember I was coming down Williams Lake Road trying to get to Livonia, running late from dropping the kids off, and we're on the Monday motivation call, and it's just maybe – I don't remember if you were even on it. It might have just been me and Andy. Maybe we were just having a phone call, but we were having a phone call, and he said to me – He's like, I was telling him, he's like, well, what are you working on this week? I'm like, oh, I'm going to plan this. I'm going to do this. And he said, Kylie, he's like, your goal was to make X number of dollars every month. You told me that if you could make X number of dollars in real estate, he's like, which I would like to point out is like maybe is like two, maybe three closings. He said, he's like, do you even want to make it? I'm like, yes, I do. He goes, but do you believe you can? So you can want something all that you want, but if you don't actually believe that you can do that, every single time you start to make progress on whatever that goal is, whether it's money, whether it's lifestyle, whatever it is, every single time you try to make progress, if you don't actually believe it's possible, you are going to go back to that default.
Yeah.
And I did the math the other day. I took everything that I've added up over the last 7 months, and I almost sent you and Andy like an email. Like, I just want you guys to know that for the last 7 months, if I add it all up, I have well exceeded that spot.
That's right.
So it's all about being, and that obviously it burned itself into my brain. So after that, I was like, I can do this. I can do this. And then once I did it, I went to the mental space of, oh shit, how am I going to do this again? Like, I will tell you, I set a really big goal for this year in real estate with regard to the number of closings that I want to do. And this whole year, I have just been bringing my shovel, and I have no idea how I'm going to do it, but I believe that I can. I know that I can. I've seen other people do it, so I can do it too.
Yeah. But subconsciously, you also can't think that money associates with pain, right? Or judgment or danger, because that's where you get those money blocks. Like, all of your money ideas, they were all rooted in you by the time you were 7 years old. So by the time you were 7 years old, you watched your parents or the people around you, you know, hustle for money, grind for money, die for money, or be greedy with money, or, you know, you had all of these humans around you that had these ways with money or wealth, and those decided how you feel about money. So even if you want the money and you're trying to get the money and you believe the money, if your subconscious says that if you get it, it's going to be painful because you're going to lose time with your family and you're going to be miserable, or everybody's going to judge you because they're going to think you're a jerk because you have money and you have something to prove, or it's dangerous because people will always want something from you or be after you or something bad's going to happen, then you're blocking your money. And so I want to, we're going to take a quick break, but I want to kind of talk about the psychology behind money blocks and how you can get rid of them.
Perfect. Right on time. Aw, Connor is not coming to...
Did you know that over 80% of real estate agents call it quits within their first year in the business? It's a staggering statistic. But at mystarsacademy.com, we're here to change that narrative. Our expert-based training and coaching program caters to both agents and brokers. The Agent Accelerator Program is your key to leveling up your real estate business. Learn how to generate a constant flow of free leads, convert those leads into loyal clients, and keep them coming back for more as repeat business. Our industry experts bring years of proven success to the table and provide one-on-one coaching to help you achieve structure and work-life balance. We'll map out a plan for you to follow, guiding you through the steps to scale and grow both in your business and personal life. Don't become another statistic. Visit mystarsacademy.com and enroll today to pave the way for your future success.
I like what you said about having our ideas about money ingrained in our brains by the time we were seven, because even though I grew up in a trailer park, and even though my parents, you know, my dad's a plumber, my mom's a parapro or teacher's helper, I forget her technical name, but there were times, obviously, when I was like, I want a dirt bike. And my dad's like, not only can we not afford a dirt bike, but no, you're not getting a dirt bike because you will end up in the hospital. And we can't afford that either. But when I really started thinking about my ideas about money, I do not – they're changing, obviously, as I come into this space of being able to invest and carry on and whatever, which I didn't have before. But I'm not super – I'm not – I don't know how any other way to put it. I'm not super attached to money. Does that make sense?
Well, I mean – I guess that takes us to, like, what we're talking about, because you're saying I'm not super attached to money. And that's, like, you're almost saying out loud a money block. Because here's the thing. If I say I don't need money to be happy, I'm not super attached to money, like, then why would it come to you?
No, I don't.
Why would it come to you?
I don't mean like I'm not attached. Like, we all need money to live. We live in a capitalist society. And we all know that the more money you have, most often, I don't want to say the easier life is, but like we said, you have more freedom. You have more control over your time. Mm-hmm. Time is like the one, like, it's a non-renewable resource. You literally cannot get it back, which is why sending people to jail is so can be very effective. You get no time back. But the thing is I – so, like, let me put it this way. When I'm we're having conversations about our friends, Ryan and I. We have other couple friends, and they live differently than we do, and they all have different jobs than we do. And one of them has his own business. And he and Ryan have different mentalities when it comes to money, right? And I find it so interesting – I find it so interesting that we have this friend, and I did some bookkeeping for him, so I know what's in his bank account. And he's always like, I have no money, I have no money. And I'm like, you don't? Right. And I think it's so interesting because I understand through personal development, conversation with you, and doing this podcast, the power of the words that we use.
Yeah.
And so when I see this dude running around saying, I don't have money, I don't have money, I don't have money, but I know one of his probably three or four bank accounts has $20,000 in it. Now, that's probably not all his because he runs a business, blah, blah, blah. But I'm like, if at any time you need to pay a mortgage, or if at any time your car breaks down, you're solid, my dude. You are solid. And so it's so interesting because I'm on the other hand where I'm like, well, we have it. Well, we have it. Well, we have it. You know what I'm saying? So I'm encouraging my husband to come to a place of, because he comes from a very frugal family. His father and parent and his mom, very frugal. They are great with money. They paid off their house early. It was amazing. And so even though we both share ideas about money and the importance of money, Ryan and I are on the same page there, we look at it differently. And it's so interesting to me, the more we have these conversations about money and the thought process around money, because one thing that I know is true is where you're putting your focus and your energy, that's where it's going, that's where everything's going to go. Like we've talked about, when you're like, everything's awful. So like when we have this friend who's walking around, I don't have money, I don't have money, I don't have money. Well, why do you feel that way?
Yeah. And you can't attract what you resent or what you don't care about. If you say, like, I don't need money to be rich, or I don't have money, then money's not going to flow to you. And it can't even just be about flowing to you. It has to be about being able to keep it too.
Right.
So we know somebody in our life who's like, you know, I just say money flows to me in abundance. Money flows to me in abundance. And I have as much money. I have a lot of money. I have a lot of money. But that person doesn't keep money. Mm. Yeah, they might get money, but it goes out as fast as it comes in. Mm. So there's more to that story too. You can't just attract it. You have to be able to also be able to keep it. Hold on to it and do good things with it and let it multiply. So talking about that language, I multiply money. I attract money and multiply money. You have to take it that step further and make sure you manage money. I manage money with confidence, you know. I invest in my future success. Yeah. I am building out a legacy. It has to be bigger than just I have money.
I get money.
I get money. It can't just be I get money. Because you can get it, but are you keeping it? Are you investing it? Are you managing it? Are you making it work for you and growing it?
And I think one other thing to touch on before we move on really quickly, talking about ideas about money, is living above your means. So I think that's what I was trying to articulate earlier, is Ryan and I are not the people where we could win $1 million tomorrow. And, you know, it doesn't mean we're going to sell our house and am I going to pay off the house I live in? Abso-frickin-lutely. You can bet your bottom dollar on that. But I'm not going to go out and buy like a 500 square foot house or 5,000 square foot house, all these things. And I think that is what I was trying to articulate earlier, is living above your means. And I think this kind of goes hand in hand with things we've been talking about. People get money, or real estate agents, people who are commissioned, they get a fat commission check and then it's gone, is because they're living above their means. And I think that in itself is a money block by itself, because you get all of this money, and we've talked about like what does rich mean stuff and all of this stuff. So you have all of this money, you've acquired all of this stuff, but now you're living above your means. So are you even wealthy anymore?
Well, and I think that money is emotional, but also it's just a tool. So like, I have a friend who hit the lotto and he won millions of dollars. He is literally exactly the same today as he was. That was probably at least 7 to 10 years ago, 7 to 10 years ago, probably 10 years ago, that he hit that lottery and got that millions of dollars. When he told me, he's like, I hit the lotto. He's walking around at a church picnic in Westland.
Looking like Adam Sandler.
Looking like Adam Sandler in his cargo shorts and his work boots, literally looking like Adam Sandler, and working his regular job, like, literally nothing. He told nobody. Nothing changed. And here we are 10 years later. Nothing has changed. He didn't change where he worked. He didn't change going to work. He didn't change the house he lived in. But he uses that money as a tool. He buys homes. He renovates homes. He sells homes. He buys homes. He rents them out to people at the church for not enough money, in my opinion. But he does good things for people that are in his circle. And he's creating generational wealth for his sons and a legacy to leave. But not one thing about him has changed. And there's probably only a handful of us that know that he even hit that Mega Millions. Because he goes, I hit the lotto. I'm like, oh, good for you. Like, we're just walking around talking. I hit the lotto. I'm like, that's great. Congratulations. He's like, no, for millions of dollars. And I'm like, what are you doing walking around here? Like, what? Like, it took so long.
Why are we not in Barbados right now?
Right. But nothing has changed in his life. He still showed up to work. He still did all the things. And he still is today. And he has probably turned, you know, that whatever he won, 5 or 7 or 10 million, into double, triple, quadruple that, because he's using it as a tool and he's learning to use it well. So no matter how you were raised or what you used to believe, number one, you have the ability to change that mindset.
Yep.
You just have to recognize it. You have to make decisions from abundance and not fear. And you have to be hanging out with people that inspire wealth and change that narrative that was programmed in your mind, because everything that we believe is just programming from when we were children. And most of us have some faulty programming, because it was from people that were doing the best they can with what they have, but they were also in a different world. Like, the world that we grew up in is different than the world it's that we dead. Had in our 20s it's and our 30s dead. And today.
It's, yeah, it's gone. Smoldering in ash and it's smoke. Done. The 90s are dead, and I'm sad about it. We'll have to do an entire episode.
But be grateful and be intentional and be open, because wealth is, it's available to everybody. We all have control over attracting money, using it as a tool, multiplying it, and doing something great out in the world with it. It's just all about our mindset and staying aware.
Yeah, absolutely.
And not blocking it. Because if you say, I don't need money to be happy, well, if you don't need this to be happy, then why would it come to you? How are you going to get it? You think that it's not going to make you happy. So why would your brain go out to work to make it happen?
Is it downstairs and you have a sign somewhere that says.
Yeah, it's in my Florida room.
It is.
It's in my Florida room.
Tell the folks what it says.
It says money won't buy you happiness, but it will buy you a lake house. And that's about the same thing. I mean, you don't ever see somebody crying on their jet ski. You know, they're always happy out there.
And that is one thing I truly enjoy. So let's do you want to talk about the psychology? Did we talk about the psychology a little bit?
Yeah, we did.
We did. So we're over here. Well, come along with us, friends, as we move through our notes. We can talk now about...
I mean, the psychology word that people don't understand is cognitive dissonance. And I've talked about cognitive dissonance on the show before. Like, your brain is saying, I want more money, but your subconscious is saying money causes fights. Money makes people greedy. Money makes people leave. And so those two things, they clash, right?
Or even, like, your behavior. Like, even in your brain, you're like, money, money, money. But, like, if your behavior is sitting on the couch playing video games, like, it's not connecting.
Or if you really truly in your heart of hearts don't believe you deserve it. So you may be somebody that's saying, oh, I want money, I attract money, I manifest money, but in your heart of hearts, you don't think you deserve money because that's how you were raised. You were raised poor, or you were raised with somebody around you that was saying you don't deserve happiness, or you don't deserve freedom, or you don't deserve these things. And so you don't believe you deserve it. And so you keep blocking it with your cognitive dissonance. So you might get it, but then you make stupid choices with it because subconsciously you don't believe that you deserve happiness or you deserve wealth or you deserve freedom. So you keep messing it up.
And that'll lead us right into like how we can put a beautiful bow on this conversation and how we can rewrite our thoughts and start reprogramming our brain. Because like Trisha just said, everything that we have, our culture, our faith, all of our things that we have been programmed into us. And so when we are talking about rewriting this, we're talking about, we've said awareness, you need to be aware of it, obviously, but you have to rewire it. So that means when you're having this thought, you have to catch that thought. And you have to challenge it. And sometimes when I am catching myself having thoughts that don't line up with the goals that I want or the behavior that I want or the habits I want to cultivate, I will say out loud, I'll say, that's not me. Or I'll say, I don't do that. And it freaks Ryan out sometimes. It does. Because he'll be minding his own business watching fishing stories on YouTube. And I'm folding the laundry and I'll be like, I don't have to do this right now. And he'll be like, okay, so I'm like, don't do it. Because in my mind, I know my behaviors. I'm like, you're folding laundry to avoid doing these other things that you really should be doing right now. Mm. And the same thing is with money. So like when we are reprogramming ourselves, I had to recognize after my conversation with Andy, I can do this. And I would tell myself, you can do it. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. So even though it was not a conscious block of I don't deserve this or I don't have this or I can't do this, I believe I can do this. I know that I can do this. And I would say that out loud. You need to sometimes say these things out loud. Yeah. You have to say them out loud.
And then when you do it, recognize that, oh my gosh, nothing tragic happened. I money does make me happier. I did enjoy the all-inclusive vacation in Turks and Caicos, and I was able to provide my family with amazing memories and new ways to live that they didn't know were possible.
Yeah.
And you know what? When I want to talk about this really quick, because you just got back from a vacation and you were saying how when you went away with your kids for the weekend, it was super stressful because all you had to, like, you still had to be a mom, but you were just a mom
in a different place.
In a different place. So real quick, like, you don't have to go through the story, but just like kind of roll over that because I want to segue into the first time I had my first vacation where I didn't have to do that.
So to be fair, like, it wasn't awful. I got on my stories and I just like trauma dumped and it was fine. There were some unexpected things. There was a hole in the roof. So we came to a cabin with soggy wall for however long, right? So we had some added stress of cleaning that up. And then what I realized was that I had to pack for four people. Ryan packs himself, God bless. Awesome. So I had to pack for four people. I had to plan for five people for food and things and all of what we're going to do. And we just went to the cabin. That's all we did. So we're in a small space because the cabin is just two rooms. So all I am doing is constantly cleaning up after people, telling people to quit going in and out of the house, answering questions about when and what the hell we're going to eat. When are we going to the waterfalls? I'm bored. I don't want to do this. There's too many bugs. My kids were just, I basically took 4 days off of work so my kids could be ungrateful in a different location.
Yes.
And it was fine. Like, we made core memories. It was great. But I'm really looking forward to going to Rome.
Now, let's talk about that, though, because I had so many vacations.
Like, I thought you were going to say I had so many kids.
No, but I did. Like, we used to go to Hampton Beach every single summer. Yes. And that is how my vacation was at Hampton Beach. I had to pack the beach chairs. I had to carry this. I had sand everywhere. I had screaming kids. Everybody's ungrateful. Everybody wants a rice necklace. Everybody wants me to cook 16 times and cut up carrots and bring the strawberries. And oh my God, you forgot my football. And blah, 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 blah. And it was so freaking stressful. And then I would be like, oh, we're going to make it even better. Like, us moms, we have these expectations that, oh, it's going to be ideas, amazing
ideas
thing.
Of grandeur. We're going to have the best day. It's going to be a Hallmark movie.
And here's what happens when you have a traditional one is you forget. And then you're like, oh, I can't wait to go do that again. And then you do it again. And by the end of the 11 days, you're like, oh my God. And if you bring more family members, like, oh, I bring these people with me because I want them to experience the greatness. Then it's just more people that you have to manage. And oh, I got to do their hire and I got to buy them rice necklaces. And oh my gosh, one of them had a boogie board accident. So I got to take them to their urgent care and I got to get them this and I got to get them this. And by the end, you want to rip all your hair out because it was worse than if you just would have been in your regular routine, going to work.
If I could just stay at my house and
doing
do
this stuff. Right. So here's what money does. Money makes it so you can go to Jamaica on an all-inclusive paid vacation and you can put your kids in a different room and you can get a butler and they give you a phone and you take that phone and every time your kids want to eat, you go on the phone and you go, hey, John, can you bring my kids? What do you want? A hot dog? Okay. Bring us a hot dog. What do you want? Pizza? Okay, she wants pizza. Oh, what do you want, Dave? Oh, two margaritas? Okay, and two margaritas. And you sit in your chair on the beach and some dude stands in line at all the different places so you don't have to stand in line. And then he brings it and then they go, oh, but I, you know what? I don't want this hot dog anymore. I want the vanilla pie. Hey, John, can you now bring us a vanilla pie? Yep. Okay. Hey, I want floaties. Hey, John, can you go to the gift store and get floaties? And you know what I got to do? I got to actually enjoy a vacation. I got to sit in the beach chair and let them want what they want and somebody else stood in line and get it. And let them need what they need because somebody else went and got it and brought it to the room. And I actually got a freaking vacation. And boom. It was magical. And it was magical for everybody because you know what? I wasn't short-tempered because I was the one standing in line. And I was the one going, you should have asked for that in the first place. And I was the one cleaning up all of their crap because I experienced tons of vacations like that. But once you grow and you're able to have the resources to vacation differently and not have to stand in lines, like, okay, when we went to the restaurant to eat, I didn't have to have my kids stand in that long line. We just went in with our butler and sat down and got served food. And I was like, number one, it felt so weird to me because I was like, it feels like we're like famous people or something. And this feels really weird. But by the end of the vacation, it was like, this is why I work so hard. This is why I grind all night and I work all day and I give and I give and I give and I give and I give. Because yes, have I sacrificed some bedtime stories? Have I sacrificed some, you know, times being on the field trip? Yep. But did I just give my entire family, including myself, the most amazing vacation experience ever where I'm so relaxed when we have silent disco and I put these headphones on my head and I just dance around like I am back in my 20s again and I enjoy my life and they get their own headphones so they can listen to their own music and we can all be in the same space dancing around, living our best lives, not having to sit in lines, not having to listen to people complain because we're all living our best life. Why?
because I let money come to me and I did the sacrificing when I need to sacrifice so we could have different experiences that we would have never, ever, ever had. And it was amazing.
I think that is really what attracts me to money, is providing my family and myself with experiences that we otherwise wouldn't have had. Not to talk shit about our parents. Like we just said,
no, they do the best they can with what they have.
But here's the thing. I was telling you before we started rolling, I had a conversation with my sister and I haven't talked to her in a little bit. We just life be life in. She's living her life. I'm living mine. But I asked her, I was like, hey, do you have a good neck pillow? Because all of the feedback that I'm getting from people about going to Rome is like, you make sure you're comfy on that plane. Mm-hmm. Get a good pillow, get a good bubby. That a bubby is a blankie, by the way. and make sure that you're comfy on that plane. Right. And she's like, what do you need a neck pillow for? And I literally just told her I was going to Rome in a week and a half. And she's like, I thought you were joking. And I'm like, no, ma'am, I am leaving. I'm getting on a plane. I'm leaving everyone except for Trisha behind. And I am leaving. I am going. And she's like, no, you're not. And I'm like, yes, I am. And she's like, well, how did you pay for that? And I was like, I paid for it.
With the money I worked for.
And she wasn't like, she wasn't shitty with me by any means. She was just like, it, because again, we come from a space, number one, as Americans, we don't, most of us, we travel inside of our country.
Right.
We get in dad's station wagon and we drive to the camping site. We drive to Mount Rushmore. We travel in our own country. Because as I've pointed out before, you can start driving in one state and 12 hours later, you are still in the same state. So we travel in our country. But like even from like the economical demographic that we grew up in, we had this idea that traveling internationally requires hundreds of, maybe not hundreds of thousands, but thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. And that I think is the other really amazing mindset shift that I have had coming into my entrepreneurship and running my own business, having control over my own money, because that's really what it's about, is we have control over our own money. This industry, uncapped income.
Yeah.
And so before, when I was slinging cell phones at AT&T, you know, $3,000 or $5,000 was a lot of scratch. That's a lot of scratch to come up with. But when that's one paycheck and you've gotten three in a month, not to be braggadocious, but just letting people know, like whether you're in real estate or any other business, you're like, it's just $3,000.
Yeah. And I'm glad that you added that. Like these conversations need to happen more because people think we shouldn't talk about money because we're bragging. None of this is bragging. It's helping you to understand you deserve this better life. You are able to provide yourself and your family with a better life, which you deserve. So go get it. Go get it, girlfriend. Go get it.
Absolutely.
Get that vacation in Rome. Get that all-inclusive with a butler. Enjoy your life. We all work so dang hard. Patricia at our office, she's from Dubai, and she's like, I don't understand how you guys are, what are you doing here? You all work just to pay bills. You work just to pay bills. And what you said is so true. She's like, when I lived in Dubai, I'd go over to Europe like once, twice, three times a month and just enjoy
because it's 45 minutes away. That's why.
Yeah, but they're enjoying their life, you know. Even in Mexico, they take a nap in the middle of the day.
Americans,
like, we aren't taking naps.
Americans are built different.
We're not enjoying our lives.
Different.
Yeah, and we have to rewrite that narrative.
They not like us. They not like us. Americans, I did. So a long time ago, I listened to this book called The Culture Code. If you guys have.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
So freaking good. And my brain matter was all over the car because it blew my mind, honestly. And we are built different. And so,
but we don't have to be.
But that's the thing.
It doesn't have to be so hard.
It doesn't. And it's all about your mentality. And I think that there's so much, because I don't remember if you remember this statistic. I remember growing up and hearing, oh, we're only using like 3%, 10% of our brain. Just imagine what life would be like. We could move things like friggin' like whatever the X guy is. I don't know. I'm running out of steam here. Long story short. It's all in your head, y'all.
It is.
It's all in your head.
And you can do anything and have anything and
what did
achieve
I say?
More.
You want to be an astronaut? Go be an astronaut.
Just make sure you don't have motion sickness like me.
No, but truly. And we, I'm glad we had this conversation because it really does come down to a couple key points. your mindset.
Yep.
And your passion.
And your intentionality. Being intentional with your life.
Yes,
and your time. Your time. And your money, your resources.
Dude, I've been doing the Trisha Doric time audit, and I'm like, Kylie, what are you doing with your time, baby? Like, yeah. And because we live in a world that has cyclical, like, there's cycles in every aspect of our lives, our growth, our seasons, everything. I think that is a huge reason why we always keep coming back to, like, the old person. But dang, y'all, just let's go.
Let's redefine what success is for you.
Let's do it.
Let's go.
Do it. And rich is not wealthy. Wealthy is not rich. And I really just want to encourage everybody as we wrap up to do just some self-reflection. Yeah. Do some self-reflection. What are your thoughts about money? Where did they come from? How can you change them? I mean, a good start is by using these affirmations. Like we said, change your language. We've talked so many times about how important language is and like what we tell ourselves and making your brain work.
Also, what are you spending your money on? I have so many people that are like, I ain't got no money. But you've been at the casino. You're buying 6 cases of Bud Light.
Let me tell you something.
Like, what are you doing, bro?
I had a friend who's no longer a friend. And I will say this. Every time I talked to her, she was constantly bitching about the credit card debt she was in. I don't know how I'm going to pay bills. But what she ever in the office? No. She was upset because
she was paying $10 for a Starbucks though, huh?
Yeah, she was. And she was, God bless her, she was driving to Ohio to take her kids to Monster Truck and upset that I wouldn't go because at that time that was not in the budget. So like, what are you spending your money on? What are you spending your money on?
Trash. Because you got trash mentality.
Don't be trash.
Don't be trash. Let's wrap with that. Don't be trash.
All right. And the best way to make sure you are not trash is to hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening. Come back next week because we drop fresh content every Thursday here on The Elite Life.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us today on The Elite Life Podcast with Trish and Kylie. Don't forget to share this episode with a friend so we can keep delivering you more fantastic insights on grit, grace, and growth. Stay connected with us on Instagram and Facebook, where we'll keep the ideas flowing to help you build a life you love and leave a legacy you can be proud of. Until next time.